Tonight we had a good show for SmackDown. I thought there was more good than bad on the show tonight, but it peaked with the father and son angle, Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. We knew tonight here in Las Vegas that the Mysterio family would be in attendance. We didn't know exactly what was going to go down, but it seemed pretty clear this was probably going to be the angle to set up the WrestleMania match between the two of them. And that's exactly what we got tonight. So think of all the months, all the many, many, many weeks that we have had this same angle where Dominic comes out, tries to get his father to hit him, strike me, put your hands on me, punch me. Rey says, no, I will not do that. I will not touch my son. I will not accept a challenge to a match at WrestleMania. I will never do that. And tonight, all it took was Dominic getting up in his mother's face and yelling in his mother's face to get Rey to change his mind. And when Rey Mysterio punched his son on this show, didn't quite match the pop that Sammy and KO got for that first hug on SmackDown, but it came pretty damn close. It was great. It was a great payoff to an angle that has been really dragging out now for quite a long time, and the match now is official for WrestleMania. That really was the peak of the show. We also had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who I just mentioned, closing out the show tonight. We got some lighthearted moments between the two of them, with Kevin Owens giving Sami a brand new t-shirt, much the same way Roman Reigns gave Sami the honorary Usos shirt many months ago, and ending with the Usos ambushing the two of them and leaving them laying until KO came back into the ring with a chair to chase them off. How many times, just thinking about this, how many times over the last several months have we seen these shows? And I'm not just talking about SmackDown, I'm talking about Raw as well. How many times have we seen Kevin Owens and or Sami Zayn, some combination of the two of them, closing out these television shows, right? Many times, more often than not, we see one or both of them involved in the final segment on these TV shows. And that's all you really need to say when you consider what should headline night one of WrestleMania this year. I know there's an argument to be made for the fact that Rhea Ripley won the Royal Rumble match this year, and therefore she should go to the main event at WrestleMania. But there are times where there is a certain match on the card that just feels like a bigger deal, and it feels like it's deserving of the main event spot. These two men have been in the feature program on this show now for months. Tag team titles are on the line. Feels like a big deal. The Usos are going to be champions something like 600 plus days come WrestleMania next weekend. Certainly they didn't do anything tonight involving Charlotte and Rhea to get me to feel any differently about this. If these four men are having their match on night one at WrestleMania, that is your main event. But that's the question. Is that match going to be taking place on night one of WrestleMania? And that I am not sure. Bray Wyatt is somebody who has been missing from this television show now for a number of weeks. We have not seen Bray Wyatt. We have not heard from him. Bobby Lashley has been off the shows as well. And so I was not expecting a Bray Wyatt appearance tonight. I am not expecting a Bray Wyatt appearance at all until maybe WrestleMania. If he's ready to come back at that point, if he's all healed up from whatever illness has befallen him, perhaps he would show up as a surprise at WrestleMania, but there was no Bray Wyatt tonight. And so the question is, what is Bobby Lashley going to do at WrestleMania? Right? There's been a lot of rumors and speculation about Lashley and what they're going to have him doing. Well, tonight, near the end of the show, they were previewing SmackDown for next Friday. So I thought, well, we're coming up on WrestleMania SmackDown. They've done that over the last few years. They dub it WrestleMania SmackDown. Well, we got a graphic for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and in the graphic for the Andre Battle Royal, LA Knight was in the graphic. LA Knight, who beat Rey Mysterio tonight. But front and center, little tiny figure, front and center right in the graphic was Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown next Friday night. The same battle royal that Flop Dalla is going to be in. As of this moment, that is the WrestleMania plan for for Bobby Lashley. He will be sharing the ring with Flop Dalla, among many others, next week. Now, I personally believe that he will be on the WrestleMania card. Whatever he ends up doing, whether it's Bray or whether it's somebody else, I do still believe that Bobby Lashley will find his way onto the WrestleMania card. Just because he's in the Andre Battle Royal next Friday does not mean that he is not allowed. You got two nights of WrestleMania. I still expect him to pop up on one of those two nights. He has to. He has to. Because for him to be relegated to the Andre Battle Royal and not have any other plans for him on two nights of WrestleMania would be a disgrace. And it's a shame, too, because all of this because he was slotted in for a match that he never should have been a part of in the first place. Bobby Lashley against Bray Wyatt was a bad idea from day one. And because of this unfortunate situation with Bray, whatever it is that he's going through, and hopefully he'll be okay, we don't wish ill upon Bray Wyatt. But because of that situation, this man should not be screwed out of a spot at WrestleMania. So, hopefully, he will win the Andre Battle Royal, he will take his trophy, and he will show up on night one or night two of WrestleMania to do whatever it is that he's going to do. Speaking of WrestleMania, we also learned some news about the card and part of the match order on the card this year. We learned that John Cena, who has main evented 5 WrestleManias in his career, will open the show. For only the second time in his career, he will be opening night one, WrestleMania Saturday, for the United States Championship against Austin Theory. The first time that John Cena ever opened a WrestleMania show was his very first WrestleMania. Back in 2004, it was at Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania 20, against The Big Show. Funny enough, for the United States Championship. And on that night in 2004, John Cena won the U.S. title. Will history repeat itself again almost 20 years later? We shall see. But John Cena is going to be opening the show that night. I guess, look, if you're not on last, it's better to be on first, right? Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what Brock Lesnar believes in? If you're not on last, then you're going on first. I hear that L.A. traffic is a nightmare, so I can't say that I blame John Cena for wanting to get out of there as quickly as possible. But I am the Solid Monster, and this is your WWE SmackDown review here for Friday, March the 24th, 2023. Thank you for sharing part of your Friday night with me. Let's get into the SmackDown show here for tonight. We are getting very, very close to WrestleMania. We're going to have a very busy weekend coming up next weekend. Not only a very busy weekend, for the entire weekend next weekend. Next Friday alone. Next Friday is the final day for the month of March. It is March 31st. And we have the WrestleMania edition of SmackDown. We have, I assume, AEW Rampage is airing in its usual slot. I don't know, because they keep bouncing the show around. Now it's airing tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. I thought it was because of NCAA basketball, but from what I saw in my channel guide, apparently I don't even think the show is being bounced tonight as we speak for NCAA basketball. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what it looked like to me, it looked like it's being bumped for, I think post-game soccer coverage, I think is what it is being bumped for tonight. I don't know what's on TNT right now. Nor do I really care. But the point is, next Friday, you got SmackDown, I presume Rampage, the WWE Hall of Fame on Peacock immediately after SmackDown, and Ring of Honor is having its Super Card of Honor show on pay-per-view, which on paper looks like an excellent show. And I believe that is also the night that Kota Ibushi is returning to the ring for the first time in about a year and a half. He's having his first match in a very long time against Joey Janela at the GCW Spring Break show. So there's a lot of things going on next Friday. But just for the little programming note, just so you guys are aware, the plan right now, as soon as SmackDown is over, is to be live right here on YouTube. So I will be live during the WWE Hall of Fame, because I am not waiting until after the WWE Hall of Fame. That ain't happening. So I will be right here on my usual slot here next Friday, just so you guys know. But SmackDown opened with the American Nightmare, Monday Night Raw's own, Cody Rhodes, down to the ring where Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci were already waiting. It was Cody against Kaiser. Paul Heyman walked out on stage early in the match to observe. And then a little bit later on, Solo Sikoa walked out as well. And he and Heyman walked down to the ring to get a close-up view of Roman's WrestleMania opponent. Honestly, this match went a lot longer than I expected it to. It was way more competitive than I expected it to be. You would think, I mean, considering how many singles matches we see Ludwig Kaiser, and Kaiser is very good. I guess the match had to be longer to give them time to have Heyman stroll out, then wait a little bit, have Solo Sikoa come out, so it kind of made sense that this match would get some time. The story they told on commentary was that Cody was risking potential injury by having, you know, he's accepting all challenges and going in there and having a match tonight a week away from the biggest match of his career. He's going to be wrestling Solo on Raw this Monday night as well. But that was the story that they told. Now, Cody set up for the crossroads a few times. He was unable to get it the first one or two times that he tried it. Finally, though, he got the Cody cutter and hit the crossroads to pick up the win. After the match, Heyman and Solo got up on the apron. Paul Heyman had a microphone in his hand. And Heyman told Cody that Cody is owed an apology. And he's going to be the one to deliver that apology to him. He said, she did a lousy job with that announcement. And Heyman was referring to Samantha Irvin, who never does an awful job. Samantha Irvin is great. I'm a big fan of her work. But he said that she did a terrible job with her announcement there of Cody winning the match. And Heyman decided to do his own announcement. And he referred to Cody as still the challenger to the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns. And he said his name, Cody Rhodes. He said it with a lot of vigor. The very same Cody Rhodes that sees his road to WrestleMania with a giant pothole in front of him. That happens this Monday night on Raw when he goes one-on-one against Solo Sikoa. And if, by chance, he should be able to survive against Solo, then it is not the road to WrestleMania. All roads lead to Roman Reigns, who will be live on SmackDown, he said, next Friday to see Cody one final time face-to-face. So they are promoting one last in-ring face-to-face showdown between these two. One last, I guess, big promo segment. And the promo work in the two segments we've seen them in so far, one on SmackDown, one on Raw, has been very good. It's been the highlight of the show. And both times, Roman took digs at Cody starting AEW and saying, as he did on Monday, you couldn't get over in WWE. You went and started another company that you couldn't get over in. And then you came back, you got over, and then your body failed you, and you popped your pec. That was basically Roman's promo from Monday. So we'll see what they have up their sleeve next Friday. So Heyman was done. He took the mic. He tossed it to Cody. Cody caught it. And Cody asked Heyman if he's moving the goalposts for him. He also interrupted the fans, he said, while they were singing his song, which, if Chris Jericho is to be believed, he and the song Judas invented the idea of wrestling fans singing along to someone's music. Did you know that? Did you know that? Because I didn't, until I heard Chris Jericho on the radio say that this past week, I didn't realize that. That Chris Jericho pioneered wrestlers singing along to someone's entrance view. I'll talk more about that on Sunday. Oh, Chris Jericho. So Cody said, look, what am I supposed to say? No, I will not take the match with Solo Sikoa on Raw this Monday. I will not wrestle Solo 6 days before the biggest match in the history of my family. He said he wrestled Seth Rollins with half his body hanging off, and he still won. So it's like he told Solo on Monday night. He said, you're not ready. And as for Roman Reigns, he said he will find out the same thing at WrestleMania. He is not ready either. So again, the match I thought was very good, longer than I expected it to be, but you know, in a good way. Always good for someone like Kaiser to get more TV time and be competitive with the man who's going to the main event of WrestleMania. Not that they have some big singles push in mind for him, but it's kind of like Chad Gable, right? you're not really expecting Gable to get some kind of big, gigantic singles push, although if anybody deserves it on that show, it's him. But he goes out there every week and he's able to show out, you know, and show people what he can do. And he goes out there pretty much every week and has a good to very good showing. So I enjoyed the opening segment. This is the point in the show where Michael Cole did the breaking news announcement of John Cena versus Austin Theory going on first on WrestleMania Night 1, which we already talked about. Then we had Charlotte Flair, the SmackDown Women's Champion and presumably the person who will be headlining Night 1 with Rhea Ripley, even though I don't think that they should. But she was out to the ring next for a promo. And Charlotte brought up being a 14-time world champion. She says that wasn't built on fear, insecurities, or nepotism. She asked what fear is. What is fear? Called it ignorance. Said that this business was built on respect, not fear. She says she doesn't fear Rhea Ripley, but she respects her. She also respected Nikki and Brie, Sasha, Becky, Bailey, Trish, Asuka, Ronda, and Natty. Insecurities. She said, damn right I have insecurities. And at that point, the crowd was giving her loud chants of what? Loud chants of what? And Charlotte, in her promos, when she gets the what treatment, she can't let it go. Every time this happens to her, it's happened multiple times. And there are a couple times where she had some good comebacks for it. But because her promos can sometimes be very robotic in nature, you know, her cadence in these promos doesn't lend itself very well to sort of talking over them. So she'll say something and she'll give people a chance to get, you know, get what? And then it's almost like it just bothers her so much that she has to acknowledge it, which in most situations, unless you have a really good comeback to shut it down, is a bad thing to do because all that does is encourage them to do it even more. So she heard the what chant and she turns and she asks the crowd, she goes, are you really whatting me? She said, this is important to me, so listen. And they just whatted her even louder. She says she has insecurities, but she uses them to build herself up for the last 7 years, in fact. She said, lastly, nepotism. And the crowd started to chant woo at her. She goes, that's right. That's right, Las Vegas. I love my dad, and I will never apologize for continuing the greatest legacy in sports entertainment. Whether you like it or not, you better learn to love it because diamonds are forever, and so is Charlotte Flair. So now she's just fully embracing, you know, she already does the woo stuff. Now she's embracing her father's old catchphrase. I wouldn't be surprised if he was there at WrestleMania. Escorted her out to the ring. I thought this was a very generic promo. This felt to me like they just didn't have any good ideas for her. And they're like, well, this is the best we can come up with. So just go out there and just talk about yourself. And we'll play off this whole idea. Because Rhea's been talking about how, you know, you fear me or I'm going to make you fear me. That's kind of been one of the common themes of her promos. So this was Charlotte coming out to address the idea of her being afraid. So I get that. But the promo itself, I just thought was very paint-by-number shit. And I ask you again, you go out there, you see her out there in the ring cutting this promo. That's all there was, by the way. There was no Rhea on the show. Charlotte didn't have a match. It was just her out there basically saying, I'm the champion. All these people I respect. I don't fear them. You know, yes, I have my father's last name, and I'm proud of it, and woo. And that was it. I ask you, does this feel like it should be headlining WrestleMania? Answer that question honestly. Based on the way this match has been built up, does this feel like this should be headlining WrestleMania on Night 1? What I got also from this promo, though, and what I'm hopeful for, because I don't think it would be a bad idea, it seemed to me, this is a very heelish promo, right? I mean, there's one. It's fine for her to go out there and be confident. I'm not saying that she shouldn't be able or a woman shouldn't be able to go out there and be confident and automatically that makes her a villain. It's not what I'm saying. Charlotte has this thing, though. Charlotte in particular has this thing where when she's cutting a promo and she's out there, She is a heel. I don't care what they think she is or what she's slotted in as on the internal roster. She is a heel. This woman is born a heel. Looks like her father. Ric Flair has talked about every time he was a babyface, all he wanted to do was be a heel again, right? Some people are just born into that role. The way they carry themselves, the way they speak, and the fact that she, as she has pointed out recently, in every single WrestleMania match that she has ever been in over 7 years, has either been defending a championship or challenging for one. In fact, her very first WrestleMania, she became a champion on the main roster for the first time. There's no reason for people to want to see Charlotte in a heroic light as if she's struggling for something, because she has never had to struggle on the main roster for anything. Never. She's never had to struggle for anything. People want to root for somebody if there's a goal in mind, right? That's why people, one of the reasons why people got behind Sami Zayn so much. And years ago, they got behind people like Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan, or they wanted to see Stone Cold go to WrestleMania and overcome Mr. McMahon and all the obstacles he threw in front of him to become the champion. There's some sort of goal in mind. And that's just not the case with her. So her bringing her back as a babyface, she was always going to get a positive reaction because she was gone for so long. But the idea that you would think this woman here is going to be a babyface from now on is ridiculous. And Charlotte realizes the same thing. She has made comments to that effect that she knows how difficult it is for people to look at her as a babyface. So I say all of this because I think we may be in for a double turn. That's what this felt like to me. I wonder if, based on how this promo sounded to me, if they understand, if they're smart enough to understand that at WrestleMania, when it comes to the reaction from the crowd, when both these women are standing across the ring from each other, if the reaction is going to sway the other way. And they see it coming and they realize it and they're building to a double turn. With Charlotte going full on heel again and Rhea Ripley coming out of that match as the babyface. I wonder. Because Charlotte as a babyface is just an epic fail. She is completely miscast in this role. Couldn't even handle the what chance here in this promo. Healing on the crowd. Now granted, the what chance are very stupid. I would want to heal on the crowd too. But man, if ever there was a situation that was ripe for a double turn, I feel like this is it. We had Rey Mysterio going one-on-one with Los Angeles Knight, who as of this moment is not actually slated to be on the Los Angeles WrestleMania card next week. And although he is in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which has been won by such luminaries in the past as Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss. So Ray came down to the ring. He kissed his wife and daughter in the front row before the match. They did advertise coming into the show that the Mysterio family would be in attendance on the show tonight. Dominic got a full entrance. He walked out midway through the match. They hit his music. This distracted Ray, who was up on the top rope. And he got knocked off the top rope by Knight, heading into a commercial break. The same spot they did, by the way, a very similar spot in the opening match with Cody and Kaiser, where Solo Sikoa was coming down to the ring. And this distracted Cody, and then Kaiser gave him a chop block from behind. So a very similar spot. Late in the match, Ray got Knight in position for the 619. And Ray ran the ropes. He got tripped up by his son. Ray stood up. He looked down at his son. And LA Knight snuck up behind Ray, rolled him up for the distraction roll-up victory. Hey. Win is a win, right? He's been on a losing streak. He's lost to the other two members of the New Day. He lost to Cody Rhodes on TV the other night. It's about time that LA Knight gets a win, even if it is in the cheapest possible way. Wade Barrett said that Knight beat a Hall of Famer, and if that doesn't get him on the card at WrestleMania, then he just gives up. So Dominic took the microphone, and he climbed into the ring. He said he wants his father to give him what he wants. Are you finally going to face me man-to-man, face-to-face, at WrestleMania? Ray waved his finger, no, and he left the ring. So Dominic looked over at his mother, not his mommy, his actual mother, and asked her how it feels to be married to such a pathetic loser, a coward who cannot even stand up to his own son. So then he left the ring, and he went to go walk over to Angie and Aaliyah in the front row. We haven't seen Aaliyah in a while. Of course, Aaliyah, famous for her love storyline with one Buddy Matthews. I wonder how she feels about Buddy going to the dark side in the House of Black. Funny enough, you know, when I think about this, Buddy Matthews is dating Rhea Ripley in real life, who is Dominic Mysterio's mommy on television. So they're all kind of connected in a way. There's some sort of weird, sexual four-way going on here. But anyway, so he walked over to his mother and his sister, and he told his mother, you know, you sat there every single night while he abandoned me, and so that makes you a deadbeat mom. And Aaliyah got up in her brother's face. Dominic told her to sit down because you're too stupid to understand. Angie took the mic out of her son's hand, but as she went to speak, he grabbed it back out of her hand, and he yelled, shut up, right to her face. He yelled it. He screamed, shut up, right in his mother's face. Ray saw this. And so Ray begins to walk back down to the ring. Dominic sees this, and he puts his arms out like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And Ray walks over to him, and Ray just punches him right in the face. And down goes Dominic, and what a pop it got. What a great reaction that got here from the crowd. Not quite the pop that the Sammy KO hug got, but it was close. It was damn close. This was great. Ray told him that you made me do this. I didn't want to do this. You made me do this. He goes, that's my wife. He goes, you don't talk to your mother like that. He says, you wanted to fight at WrestleMania? You're on. I'll see you at WrestleMania, son. And everybody cheered. There were people in the crowd doing the yes chant. You know, I was told in my younger days a time or two, you know, don't talk to your mother like that. But it never got a pop like this did. But this was awesome. This was the payoff to a very long angle. This was one of those long-term booking ideas that they had many months ago when they first turned Dominic heel and he aligned with the Judgment Day. And this will go down, I think, as one of the, certainly in the last decade, as one of the smartest creative moves that WWE has made as far as, you know, flipping somebody heel to babyface or babyface to heel. Clearly, they had big plans for Dominic down the road. I think they still do. They see big things in his future, right? And obviously, they know what he can do in the ring. He's still very green, but I think he's been coming along okay. But character-wise, he was very bland, right? Very bland and boring and wooden as a babyface. And then they turned him heel. And he got away from his father, and he's been working with Finn Balor, who's a great person to learn from. You know, Balor has taught many students in his day. But learning the character side of things and the promo side of things and hanging out with people like Priest and Balor who have been doing this for a long time, and even Rhea. When Rhea joined the Judgment Day, I mean, Rhea had a lot of fans. Rhea was already over. But for her, it was just this whole new experience on the main roster where she got over in a completely different way. And the Judgment Day act itself went from being something that looked like it had one foot in the grave to honestly one of the better things on Monday Night Raw. Dominic has benefited from that, and he has grown, and even just falling kind of accidentally almost into this whole ex-con Dom thing. And I've seen him do media interviews where, you know, he's still playing the part like, yeah, you know, my time on the inside, man, it was tough. I mean, he did one of those Celtic Warrior workouts sometime back with Sheamus on his YouTube channel. And he opened the video, you know, interviewing Dominic about, you know, what it was like on the inside. And they did basically Dominic's prison workout in the video. So it's been fantastic. And Dominic and Rhea together both. But Dominic has become, for me, one of the most entertaining parts of the entire show. He still has a ways to go as far as putting together like a long match. But I think the progress he's made has been very noticeable. And he was great here in this angle, and this was the payoff. This is what we have been waiting a very long time for. They took their time getting there. A lot of the angles became very repetitive there at the end. But when you get to this point, you hope that this gets the reaction like this got tonight. So I'm sure WWE and everybody involved are very happy with this. The reaction from that crowd in Las Vegas was exactly what they were looking for. And now this becomes, honestly, one of the more anticipated matches at WrestleMania because it has been built up for so long. And there were a lot of rumors about how Rey might retire at WrestleMania. This is going to be his last match. All bullshit. I don't know where those got started, but that is not true. The plan is not for Rey Mysterio to wrestle his son and then retire, but although that would be kind of poetic in a way. But no, this is not going to be Rey's last match at WrestleMania. But once they announced the family was going to be there tonight, I knew this was going to be it. That they weren't going to wait until the Hall of Fame. They were going to shoot the angle tonight. It seemed pretty obvious to me. And it was worth the wait. I like this a lot. I'll tell you what I did not like. This next segment, which was quite the come down from what we just saw. It was another women's qualifying match for the four-way tag team showcase at WrestleMania. Xia Li and Lacey Evans, who can't buy themselves television time. You know how people can buy television time, have a little infomercial? I don't even think if they tried. If they put a down payment that any network would be willing to give them television time, but they got television time on this show because they had one goal, which was to go out there and lose. Xia Li and Lacey Evans against Natty and Shotzi, who rode out together on Shotzi's tank. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, they've already qualified for the showcase match of WrestleMania. They were out there to sit ringside and observe. This was not good. This was not good. Early in the match, Lacey was supposed to tag out to Xia. She was in control. And she had, I want to say, Shotzi in the heel corner. She was so busy talking shit to the crowd that when Xia was reaching for the tag, Lacey just completely, I don't know, like tunnel vision. She didn't notice her partner. She didn't see that she was trying to reach for the tag. And Lacey just very calmly got out of the ring and stood on the apron and was still yelling at the crowd outside. The referee came over. He was whispering something to Lacey. Xia was still going for the tag, trying to tell her, you got to get back in the ring and tag me. And Lacey just waved her in and said, just get in the ring. And so Xia got in the ring, and the match went on from there. This woman does not even know how to make a proper tag. She's been out of the ring and off television for so long, she can't even tag. Lacey accidentally hit the woman's right on her own partner late in the match. Shotzi took out Lacey with a suicide dive. Natty and Shotzi then hit the old heart attack on Xia. And Natty locked the sharpshooter on Xia Li for the win. So Natty and Shotzi have qualified for the Women's Showcase match at WrestleMania. After the match, we heard Ronda Rousey's music. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, they walked out. Natty, Shotzi, Liv, Raquel, they were all pointing to the WrestleMania sign. There you go. Rhonda asked Shayna, how many times have the two of us sold out this building here in Las Vegas? And Shayna started counting on her hand, counting up all the times. Shayna said, really, we just came out here to let you all know that we have been added to the Women's Showcase match at WrestleMania. And that was that. That was the end of that. Very anticlimactic. Ronda has a fractured radius. For those who don't know, she does have an injury. She has been working around it in training. I don't think she's been officially cleared yet. So she hasn't been able to wrestle. And that's why there was no way for them to get Ronda and Shayna in the ring for a match to get them to qualify. Although, if they wanted to, I suppose, you could have actually had a match where Ronda just doesn't tag in. But that would be kind of weird. So that's why they did it this way, right? So I get it. They were in a tough spot here because Ronda can't wrestle. She's got the fracture. She's got the injury. It is still silly, though, just to add them without any explanation whatsoever. Just for them literally to come out and say, hey, just so you guys know, now that you've qualified in your match, we've been added to the Women's Showcase at WrestleMania. We'll see you there. Even sillier is the fact that we have a men's showcase four-way at WrestleMania where none of the male teams had to qualify. They just announced one week it's going to be the Street Profits and it's going to be the Viking Raiders and the Alpha Academy and Braun Strowman and Ricochet. Rico Strowman. I don't know. Whatever weird name they'll probably come up with for themselves. There were no qualifying matches for the men. Explain that to me. Like, I can understand at least why they did it this way, because Ronda's hurt, right? So they were between a rock and a hard place. But how come the women, evidently only some of them, have had to qualify for this, but the men, we didn't need any qualifying matches? Probably because we don't have very many men's teams, would be my guess. Whose fault is that? This whole thing is just very stupid. So up next, we were supposed to have a contract signing. Rico Man, okay, that might not be bad, actually. That might be their new team name. I might have to call them Rico Man. You don't like Braun O'Shea? That doesn't really work, I guess, does it? Contract signing for the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania with Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Gunther. Adam Pearce was in the ring when McIntyre was out there as well, seated at the table. Sheamus made his entrance with Ridge Holland and Butch. And Sheamus was on the mic. He was complaining about Drew McIntyre backstabbing him. McIntyre cut him off and said, look, you coming out here every week on television and giving me guilt trips and posting memes on social media and blocking me on Twitter and all this stuff, he goes, has been very sad. He says, it's embarrassing. He said, we should have been at the bar laughing about things after our match last week. But Sheamus can't separate business from personal. McIntyre said that he's beaten Sheamus, and he knows that he can beat Gunther. But history shows that Sheamus can't. Sheamus didn't like that very much. They got up in each other's face, and Adam Pearce was trying to defuse the situation. He told them to calm down. We need 3 signatures on this contract. That brought out the Intercontinental Champion Gunther, who I believe just this past week, in fact, passed Mr. Perfect for the longest Intercontinental Championship run in, I think, about 36 years. Passed him by about, I think, less than 10 days, in fact. But that was Mr. Perfect's second run with the belt from late 90 through SummerSlam in 91 when he dropped the belt to Bret Hart. So Gunther just keeps on rolling. He's rolling on into WrestleMania. He rolled on down to the ring here. He was not very happy. He got up in Adam Pearce's face, said he wanted him to justify his decision to have him face 2 men at WrestleMania instead of having a singles match, which is what he wanted. Because also remember, in this type of match, he can lose his title without being pinned, which is what I'm betting on at WrestleMania. So he was not very happy. Gunther signed the contract, though, and he asked Adam Pearce if he was happy. He said that he would beat McIntyre. He would beat Sheamus. He turned to Holland and Butch. He said, I beat Holland. And then he looked at Butch, and he asked him what he was looking at. And Butch dove over the table onto Gunther. Sheamus and Holland pulled Butch back. And an angry Gunther grabbed the table, the contract signing table that was in the ring, and he flung this thing like it was nothing. He almost wiped out the entire front row at this table. They almost had a lawsuit on their hands. Thankfully for them, that table fell just short. But I thought for sure he was going to wipe out the front row with that thing. So he got up in Adam Pearce's face demanding a match with Butch, which was already in progress when we came back from the commercial break. 2 men, by the way. 2 men with a history together. I know not everybody followed NXT UK. I barely followed it, but I was always paying attention to, you know, the key matches when it came to Walter, when it came to Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate. I mean, those guys had some incredible matches together. Now we have Tyler Bate on NXT. He's like a yoga guru now because everybody needs a fucking gimmick on that show. But they had some incredible matches together. But Pete Dunne is the one who Walter beat to win the NXT United Kingdom Championship. Pete Dunne went almost 700 days with that NXT UK title. And then Walter won the belt, and he held that belt, I think, for well over 800 days. So a lot of history there between those two. I think it was about 860, right? 860 or 870 for Walter as the champion there in the NXT UK. So Drew McIntyre watched from ringside, as did Sheamus and Ridge Holland. They were out there as well. Gunther avoided a standing moonsault off the apron by Butch, who landed on his feet. Gunther chopped him right over the announce desk. And then he turned around and he saw Drew and he saw Sheamus. And all three men, we had kind of a standoff here outside the ring until Gunther turned around and Butch dove off the table at him. Gunther then shoved Butch into Drew McIntyre. Back in the ring, Butch took control briefly while McIntyre jumped up on the apron. He was going to confront him. Sheamus saw this and he pulled McIntyre down. And McIntyre decided to go ahead and give him a Glasgow kiss. Holland went after McIntyre. McIntyre ran him into the ring post. Sheamus then dropped McIntyre with a running knee. In the ring, Gunther turned a distracted Butch inside out with a clothesline and finished him off with the Last Symphony for the pin. After the match, Sheamus got into the ring. We had a stare down with Gunther and Sheamus. And behind Sheamus came Drew McIntyre with a Claymore kick. He avoided it. And Drew ended up taking down Gunther with the Claymore kick, as Michael Cole on commentary wondered, was the kick meant for Sheamus? Seemed pretty obvious to me. So he wondered if that's who the kick was for. McIntyre and Sheamus then glared at each other to close out the segment. So one of the things they established here is the fact that these two men, and Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, who have been friends, right? I mean, they've been enemies, they've been friends. Of late, they've been tag team partners and friends. That this is not going to be a handicap match at WrestleMania. There's not going to be, hey, you and I are friends. Let's work together and take this guy out. It's going to be every man for himself. Because now they've established that there is heat between Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. There's tension between the two of them going into this match. I hope this is not the last time that we get to see Gunther and Butch. And the next time that they get to work together, hopefully he won't even be Butch anymore. He'll be Pete Dunne, because there's been a lot of talk about him getting his name back. You know, one thing I didn't realize until this week, which I think is kind of fascinating to me. I knew his real name was not Pete Dunne, but I wasn't sure what his real name was. You know what Pete Dunne's real name is? Peter England. England is his last name. I had no idea. How about that? The guy's name is Peter England. But there have been rumors that he's going to get the Pete Dunne name back on the main roster. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But I hope that this is not the last time we get to see these two in the ring together. I know that they can recreate the magic that they had when they worked together in NXT UK. You give these two guys 20 minutes on a bigger stage to go out there and do their thing, they'll tear the house down. So tonight was good. Tonight was still good, but you give them 20 minutes to go out there and do their thing, and they could do so much more. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. If you have a laptop, or if you ever had one, I'm sure you've taken it with you into public places before. It could be a coffee shop, it could be an airport, it really doesn't matter. Maybe you had to go throw something in the garbage, maybe you had to use the restroom real quick, and you left it unattended just for a brief period of time. Most of the time, you're probably going to be fine, but imagine coming back to find it missing, that awful feeling in the pit of your stomach. Now think, how important is the information on there? Because every time you connect to an unencrypted network at a cafe or a hotel or an airport, any hacker on that same network can gain access to your personal data. That includes your passwords, your financial data, all of it. It doesn't take much technical know-how to hack somebody. A teenager could do it. And before you know it, your data is sold. And it ends up on the dark web. This is one of the many reasons why you need to protect yourself with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers cannot steal your sensitive data. They're not getting past ExpressVPN's encryption, not unless they have a supercomputer and about a billion years to spare. All you need to do is fire up the app and click one button, and just like that, you're protected. Even better, it works on all of your devices, including your phone, your tablet, your laptop, so you can stay secure anywhere. I use ExpressVPN at home because it's easy to use, and it gives me peace of mind knowing that I'm protected at all times. And if it works for me, it'll work for you too. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/solomonster. The Street Profits were backstage. Now, why the Street Profits were backstage, now I look back on this, I have no idea. They go to the back, and the Street Profits are hanging out in a hallway cracking jokes. They were talking about their showcase match at WrestleMania. They were talking about one of their opponents, Braun Strowman and Ricochet, and what do those two guys have in common? And they started making fun of the fact that they're both bald. And then they started singing Smooth Operator. When Strowman and Ricochet walked up on them, said, you guys are real funny. Strowman said that Dawkins has a lot of room to talk. He's pretty thin up there himself. Dawkins said, look, we're just making jokes. Strowman said that he wants all their smoke. He wants to inhale it all, he said. I want all your smoke. I want to inhale all of it. Which reminds me, where is Matt Riddle? So Kevin Owens was out to the ring for the closing segment, which was a special edition of the KO show with his best friend and tag team partner at WrestleMania, Sami Zayn. Owens asked Zayn, did I do the introduction right? Was it okay? Did I do it the way you wanted me to? Sammy said, I don't know what you're talking about. Owens claimed that Sammy wanted his own entrance so he could get a separate pop. Like any good top star in the wrestling business, right? Want to get your own pop. Why not? Sammy's been getting some of the biggest ones over the last 8 months. Makes sense. So Sammy talked about their friendship, how they know each other going back many years. All the years that you and I have known each other, going back to our days in Montreal. Here we are now. We are on the verge of beating the Usos at WrestleMania and becoming the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, which would indeed, it would be a first for them, because for all the matches they've had together and all the angles and all the tag matches, all the things they've done together in WWE, the one thing they have never done, they did in a Ring of Honor. Although that was some masked luchador. I don't know what happened to that guy. But in WWE, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have never been tag team champions. This would be the first time these two would be tag team champions, which is hard to believe because everybody wins the tag team titles. But now they've built up the tag team titles so much that they still have, you know, a fairly weak division, I think, on the whole, or at least when you segment it out for Raw, for SmackDown, the tag division is still very weak. But the tag team titles, at least, they feel more special now than they have in many years because the Usos are the champs. The Usos are involved in the top storyline in this company. They've been champions for going on 600 days. They unified the titles. So like the situation with Roman, it does make the title feel like a bigger deal. So when they win them at WrestleMania, it will feel bigger than it otherwise would. The problem is coming out of WrestleMania, what happens then, right? And that's always been the issue. I've never said that it isn't. They should absolutely win the tag team titles at WrestleMania, but then what happens? Do they split tag team titles? Do they keep them unified? And whether they do or they don't, who do they go after next? Do they just have a series of rematches with the Usos? Do the Usos immediately win the belts back? Because look at the other teams they have. Braun Strowman and Ricochet. The Vikings. The Street Profits. Alpha Academy. Those are who are in the showcase match, right? Whoever wins the showcase match at WrestleMania, I would imagine, would be in line for a tag team title match, although I don't think they've said that. Not a lot of competition out there. The story is winning the titles at WrestleMania. Coming out of WrestleMania, that's for WWE to worry about. They're going to have to really beef up that tag team division. They could call up a team from NXT. But Owens had a present for Sammy. And he pulled out this year's KO Mania t-shirt. He's had this type of shirt before. Usually it's some play off the WrestleMania logo for that year, and it says KO over the logo. So he had a KO Mania shirt with the WrestleMania Goes Hollywood logo, and it said KO taped over the wrestle parts. It said KO Mania. He said, Zayn has been the MVP of WWE. He noted that he has carried the company for much of the past year. Everybody cheered. They chanted MVP at Sami Zayn. He said, but this year is not about KO Mania. He goes, this is the back of the shirt. It's not about KO Mania this year. He tossed the shirt to Sami, told him to check the front of it. And when Sami opened the shirt, he unraveled it and he showed it to everybody. The front of the shirt had the same WrestleMania logo, but it had the word Zane taped over part of it to make it WrestleZania. And Sammy was overjoyed. He was elated. He was more excited than he was when Roman gave him the honorary Oos shirt. So he was very, very happy. Sammy wanted another hug. Owens told him, look, you only get one hug a year. But he relented. He finally gave in. The two of them hugged. When all of a sudden, the Usos attacked. You knew that you weren't going to be able to enjoy a positive moment here. You knew that something was going to go down. Couldn't even let us enjoy the hug. The Usos come. They go on the attack. Here we were, enjoying a tender moment. And they had to come out and ruin it. It's like the Fireflies tossing that flashbang at Joel and Ellie on The Last of Us in the finale. All they wanted to do was enjoy their shitty puns. They had to ruin it. Ruin a perfectly good moment. So the Usos cleared Owens from the ring. They hit the 1D on Sami Zayn. They left him laying. Owens grabbed the chair, got back in the ring. The Usos fled into the aisle. And that was the end of that. They got good heat, the Usos did, for the ambush as they closed out the show. A pretty basic angle. Really not much to it. If the match is on night one, it should headline WrestleMania. But I think that there's a chance, I think, that they would open night two with that tag team title match at WrestleMania. And the more I think about this, if they wanted to, they could take that second night of WrestleMania. And they can make it all about the bloodline. Instead of dividing it up over the two nights, they can say, okay, we're going to open WrestleMania Sunday with the tag team title match. Owens and Zayn go over, they win the championships, and now it creates this tension within the bloodline. And you can cut to the back throughout the show and have a bunch of backstage segments, which they've done on pay-per-views as well, where Roman's frame of mind now, right? He's off his game. Because the bloodline has already lost one set of gold. They've already lost one set of titles now. The question is, are they going to lose all the gold? The Usos lost in the first match. Is Roman going to lose his titles in the main event? And he's sort of on edge, right? Going into that match with Cody. I think if they wanted to, they could tell that story. I think there is a case to be made for doing it either way. Either you headline with it on night one, or you open with that match on night two. I don't hate that idea. I still feel like I would headline night one with it, but I don't hate that idea. I'm just saying we don't know yet. Nothing has been formally announced other than John Cena is going to be opening night one. That's all we know for sure. So next Friday, they are dubbing it as WrestleMania SmackDown, which they've done before. We have Roman and Cody. They're going to meet face-to-face. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus are going to team up. Can they coexist? They're going to be taking on Imperium, Kaiser, and Vinci. And they're also having the annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, relegated once again, despite the fact that WrestleMania is again two nights. They're having it on SmackDown instead, because I guess there just isn't enough time on the rest. Not that I'm complaining, I'm just saying it's kind of weird, right? They have two nights of WrestleMania, but they have to extend it out to basically a third night. But this Andre Battle Royal here, in the graphic, we had LA Knight, who does not have a match at WrestleMania proper. So he's going to be in the Battle Royal next Friday, which is ridiculous, but whatever. But Bobby Lashley was front and center in the Battle Royal graphic for SmackDown next Friday. And all I can say is, again, they better have a better plan in mind for Bobby Lashley for night one or night two of WrestleMania. I don't care what happens in the Battle Royal. He should win the Battle Royal next week. Not that I would mind if LA Knight did. But realistically, it really should be Bobby who should be winning. And then he should get on the mic as soon as the Battle Royal is over and say, I'm going to be at WrestleMania. I'm going to show up. I'm going to have my trophy with me. And I want somebody to come down to the ring and fight me, because I didn't come to Los Angeles to not be on the card at WrestleMania. So I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Bray Wyatt. I don't care if it's Uncle Howdy. I don't care if it's Uncle Harper. I don't care who it is. I'm going to be at WrestleMania. Somebody better show up and accept my challenge. Then at least you create some intrigue if they wanted to do like a mystery opponent type thing. I know they did that basically with Seth Rollins last year. But they better get him on that WrestleMania card, because it would be a disgrace for him to only be in the Battle Royal and just to be completely left off the card through no fault of his own. It's not his fault. Clearly, they wanted him to be on the show. If his opponent can't go and his opponent can't be there, you come up with a backup plan. And I assume that's what they're doing. But they're also putting him in the Battle Royal next week. Now, the other names listed for the Battle Royal: Ridge Holland, Butch, Xavier Woods, Baron Corbin. Actually, you know what I just thought? There's been rumors of Big E making an appearance, not wrestling, but making an appearance on the show. I wonder if he made some sort of appearance here, if Woods was in the final two in the Battle Royal. Maybe it comes down to Woods and LA Knight. Big E makes an appearance, some sort of distraction. I could see Xavier Woods getting the win in this Battle Royal. I wouldn't count him out. Baron Corbin, I would count him out. Baron Corbin, Karrion Kross. Here's another one. I gotta talk about this. Karrion Kross, and it was Mike Johnson, actually, on PW Insider many months ago, who said the internal WWE SmackDown roster had Karrion Kross, and probably still does have Karrion Kross listed internally, as the number two heel on SmackDown behind only Roman Reigns. And I said then, what a fucking joke, right? There, you could call him, you can give him any number you want to. He ain't number two. I'm not even sure he's number three or four, okay? The idea now that he can't even get on the WrestleMania card and he is relegated to the Andre Battle Royal, but they still see him as the number two heel on SmackDown, is laughable. And for him, it's sad. You know, it's sad that he came back and look where he is. You know, he's pretty much back in the same spot that he was in before. He's still better off because he's got Scarlett with him. He's not wearing the fucking S&M mask with a fucking ball gag. So he's in a better spot in that respect, but it ain't that much better. So Karrion Kross is in there. Bronson Reed, somebody who I think also could be a wild card here in this Battle Royal. Actually, now that I think about it, who do I want to win? Bobby Lashley or Bronson Reed? Either one. Either one of them. Johnny Gargano, Madcap Moss, Elias, Rick Boogs, Mustafa Ali, Dolph Ziggler, Dexter Lumis, Santos Escobar, Los Lothario, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Maximum Male, Mid Carters, and Legado del Fantasma. The other two members. I already said Santos. So that's your Battle Royal roster for SmackDown next Friday. Here's the SmackDown poll. 69. What is with the 69? You guys gave me a 69 in the poll on, I think it was Wednesday, for Dynamite, that we had a 69. Here we have a 69 again for SmackDown. 21.5% thumbs in the middle and 9% thumbs down, which sounds about right. It was more good than bad, I thought, on this show. It was not a great episode. It peaked with the Ray and Dominic stuff. I thought that was great. But on the whole, I thought it was a good show tonight. I thought it was a good show on the whole. So let's get to your super chats. Got a bunch of them to get through. I appreciate all the Super Chat love. Anybody who does drop one, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much. We'll kick things off here with Simi Valley. Gonna be at the show live tonight. I am pumped. Well, Simi, I don't know if Simi's with us live right now. He was at the show, but I would love to hear from Simi and find out how that pop was live for the spot where Ray punched Dominic in the face. Ed Swoggle, if Charlotte is a babyface, then I am a rutabaga. Yes. If Charlotte is a babyface, then I am the Mandalorian. Groovy Goose, thank you for the super chat. Crash, would you rather get a receipt from Brock or from Gunther? I would rather not get a receipt from either one of them. But if I had to choose, I would probably, I would just toughen up and I would take that chop from Gunther and go on my way. I do not want to get a receipt from Brock Lesnar. 3B Creations, would you be surprised if at WrestleMania they boo Charlotte and cheer for Rhea during their match? Not only would I not be surprised by that, I have every expectation that that's what they're expecting to happen. Why, I think there's a chance we may get a double turn. We have got the Mount Vernon Kid. $5 Super Chat. Hey, Solo, congrats on 800 episodes. Real milestone, brother. Thank you. Also, today is my 41st birthday. I feel good and blessed. Keep up the good word, GWO, for life. That's right. Well, happy birthday to the Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett, turning 41 years old today. Everybody should feel good when they hit 41. I hear that 41 is the new 31, right? That's what I keep telling myself. I'll be there in a few months. He also continues here, Dominic telling his mama to shut up. Big mistake. If I ever told my mother to shut up, my pops would have beaten my ass. This came off legit. What say you? Well, that was the point. You want to make it as realistic as possible. Everybody can relate to that. You don't mouth off to your mother without there being consequences. I had some soap in the mouth many times. It did not taste good. I will tell you that. Soap, a bar of soap in your mouth does not taste very good. But looking back, I deserved it. I was a bit of a jerk. I learned from it. Jamie Dorsch with the $5 Super Chat. Saw an Ultimate Warrior entrance on YouTube where he ran over somebody at ringside sprinting around the ring. Which event is this from? I can tell you exactly what that's from. That is from Madison Square Garden. I want to say in 1990. I want to say it was a six-man tag. I think it was the Warrior and LOD against maybe Mr. Perfect in Demolition, or it was Demolition in somebody. Warrior came down to the... Now, it was that short MSG aisleway. Warrior, of course, is a fucking madman, right? So he sprints down to the ring, and there wasn't a whole lot of room because they had the camera guys out there. So he comes down, and he's going around the ring, and there was a photographer there. And I shit you not, Warrior basically, like, body blocks him and just keeps going. The guy went one way, his hair went the other. It's the funniest thing. And you can see Howard Finkel, or at least Howard Finkel's legs, because the camera was kind of positioned low. I think he immediately went out to check on the guy. But that's the one thing about it I will always remember, is that the guy went down, he went one way, his hair went the other. And the Warrior just kept going. I don't even know if he felt anything. He may not have even realized what he did. Boots with the $5 Super Chat. It may be the booze talking, but when Dominic's music hit, Ray had that Hijo de tu chingada madre look in his eyes. But whatever that is, I agree. Whatever that means. GCC305, love this rap song you got playing in the intro, Solomonster. And for all the GWO, go see John Wick 4. It was so damn good. Have a good Friday night. Yeah, I meant to ask you guys. I've never seen any of the John Wick movies. Which is not as egregious as CM Punk saying he's never seen a Rocky movie. I hear nothing but good things about the John Wick. In fact, I keep hearing that each John Wick movie, there's four of them now, that each one is better than the one before. Which you never hear that when it comes to like these mindless sort of action movies. They generally get worse. I hear the opposite about these movies. Plus, I think everybody just likes Keanu Reeves. So he just seems like a cool guy. But should I jump into the John Wick series? Should I go back soon and watch the original John Wick? Would I enjoy that movie? Oofman Entertainment, if Dominic does not make his entrance at Mania in a lowrider and Eddie's theme song, I will be highly disappointed. Aussie of Steel, I cried a beautiful tear when Ray decked Dominic. Rob G, got my wife used to hearing you all week long. That's right. That's right. What can I say? What can I say? It's the smooth, dulcet sounds of my voice, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea why she would watch me every week, but I'm glad she does. I'm going to give her a shout out. Tell her I appreciate that very much. Justin Hesse. Thank you, by the way. I know there were a bunch of people who dropped channel memberships earlier, and I don't have them all listed in front of me, but I thank you for that. But I just saw Justin Hesse just dropped 10 channel memberships. Like Santa in his sleigh going overhead, dropping gifts from his sack down on all the little kids. Justin Hesse, ho, ho, ho. Thank you for the 10 channel memberships. Welcome to the GWO. Rodimus Prime with the $10 super chat. I was at my local Walmart yesterday and I noticed they sell magic spoons. I bought a box, I tried it, and I liked it, so I gotta say thank you. Well, you're very welcome. I hope you enjoy it. Then we have our boy Fahad. Fahad with that $120 super chat. Hi, Solo. Assuming he is losing the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, where do you see Gunther going after? Personally, I would love if he would be the first to challenge Cody for the belts. I don't like that idea, and I'll tell you why. If he's the first, then he's not going to win. I think that you should save him. You do not make him the first challenger coming out of WrestleMania. I would take my time with it. I would have him win King of the Ring at the end of May. By the time you get to SummerSlam at Ford Field, he could be challenging Cody or whoever the champion is for those titles. I would hold off on that until SummerSlam. Because if you go right into, let's say Cody wins the belts, right? You go right into Cody and Gunther, he's not going to win. And now you've blown through one of your biggest potential challengers for Cody. And Randy Orton is another one, and there's the belief that he'll be in Los Angeles next week, and it doesn't mean Orton will be on the show. I see Randy Orton as a potential opponent coming out of WrestleMania for Cody. There's a natural program right there. There's history between those two. Gunther, I'd push off a little bit longer. Let him win King of the Ring, build him up for that title match, and then you do the match. But Fahad, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Some huge super chat love here tonight. Very cool. Thank you. I know we're falling behind on the Be the Booker goal tonight. We're a ways off on our likes goal. So if you want to hit the like button, if you've already done so, go ahead. But it looks like we're probably going to fall short for tonight. Just so you know, that's the latest update there. Rodimus, hey AJ, thank you for the sub. Rodimus says, with baseball season on the way, how many games do you think the Mets will win this year? Well, before Diaz got hurt, I would have said 100 games. Now I think they'll be lucky if they get 75. I hate to be a pessimist, but I'm still very upset about the injury. I'll say 80 games. How's that? 80 games. Simi Valley, show is great live. Oh, there's Simi. Show is great live. Cody and LA Knight are over as hell. Ray and Dominic segment was great. Yeah, I've been noticing LA Knight, when he makes his entrance and he comes out, even though he's a heel, he's getting reactions. So hopefully the right people are listening. He's getting over. Keep it going. Keep giving him television time. Donovan D. Donovan Dijak? Buy or sell, a great storyline, but the wrestling payoff match is average at best, or an average storyline, but an amazing wrestling match payoff. I would take the average storyline with the amazing match payoff, because at the end of the day, it is about what happens in the ring. It isn't always the most important thing, which I know sounds counterintuitive. How come the... how come the wrestling is not the most important thing? Sometimes it's not. The story is also very important. I feel like if you've built up something with a great story over a period of months, and then you get the payoff and it sucks, it's almost like it's all for nothing. I would rather have another story with, you know, it's kind of average, but then you get the match and it blows you away. So I would go for the latter instead of the former. Because I just, no matter how great the storyline is, man, if you build this thing up and you finally get to the payoff and it sucks, it just sort of ruins the entire thing. It's like, well, what did we spend all this time building up this story for? Kind of a waste. You want to deliver the best possible payoff that you can. Winter's Paw, Natty Always, getting the WrestleMania bag. She is truly the boat. Gotta get Natty on that WrestleMania show. Lost the Sauce Boss with the $4.99. PSA, for those planning on playing the My Rise story mode, turn off blood. You and your opponents will bleed more than Jon Moxley in a death match. Well, I probably will keep it on, but it's funny you mentioned that. I am about to begin my Rise journey in 2K23, probably early next week. And once I do, I'll try to get a couple of Sound Off Gamers recorded. So keep an eye out for that next week. First episode of Sound Off Gamer 2K23 should be hitting. And wait until you see Solid Monster. Holy shit. Holy shit, this poor guy can't catch a break. You'll see. Bobby's World 2110, I'd love to see Rhea in the main event of Night 1, but this program is not doing it at all. Slim Yoshi with the $10 Super Chat. Since WrestleMania is next week, what are the top four matches that you are looking forward to the most? For me, it is Cody and Roman, Drew, Sheamus, and Gunther, Sammy and KO, and the Usos and Seth and Logan. Well, Cody and Roman is one for sure. The Intercontinental Triple Threat is another. I think that has the potential to steal the show on both nights, quite frankly. Tag team title match. So I would agree with your first three. And I think Seth and Logan is going to be an excellent match. But I might go Ray and Dominic, though. Just the way the story has been built up. And you know Ray is going to want to go out there and it's his son, right? So he's going to want to put on the fucking best possible match that he can. And Dominic has been a heat magnet, so they'll be telling a story during that match as well. And I might go with Ray and Dom. I think I might go with Ray and Dom as my fourth choice. I'm sure I'm forgetting some matches, though. I'm trying to think, what am I forgetting? Cena and Theory, I wouldn't... Yeah. God, what else is there? What am I missing? I feel like I'm missing... There's something else I'm not thinking of right now. Oh, Hell in a Cell. That's what it was. Edge and Balor, Hell in a Cell. No, I'll stay with Ray and Dom as number four. Winston Smith, no, Ray is not retiring. King Bling Blah, predict the WrestleMania set. Big screen or a unique set? They're going to have both. I mean, it's going to be a unique set that has a big screen. Is it going to be just a big screen? No. For WrestleMania, they usually, not always, but they usually try to make it unique. So I think they'll go unique this year. I think they have the WrestleMania Goes Hollywood theme. If you remember what they did at WrestleMania 21, which was just in a regular arena, they had like the red carpet. They made it look nice, like you were at a movie premiere. I'm kind of hoping they do something along those same lines, but they blow it up even bigger because now they're in a big stadium. So I think there'll be a play off the Hollywood theme. It'd be very disappointing if it wasn't. Brian, with that $150 super chat, Brian just blew everybody away tonight. Evening Solo had to celebrate WrestleZania and Ray finally getting Dominic to shut up, show some respect to his family. Do you think there will be something between them at the Hall of Fame next week? As far as an angle, I don't, because generally they like to keep the Hall of Fame angle free. And I don't mean Kurt. So I think that there could be, they may show Dominic if he's in the audience or something. You know, maybe Dominic, they'll kind of do a close up of him and they'll exchange a stare. Ray might cut a promo on his son at the end of his Hall of Fame speech. But as far as doing like a big angle or something, you know, it's possible. It's possible, but I'm gonna say no, just because generally they like to keep the Hall of Fame angle free. But Brian, again, man, thank you very much. Bombs away, indeed. CMJ World, would you ever do your own personal wrestling Hall of Fame? Like Sound Off Hall of Fame? I would consider it. Down goes Disco. Down goes Disco. CMJ, how about a 6-8 match be the booker for WrestleMania? That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. Do you realize how late that stream is probably going to go? I am not committing to an 8-match be the booker. That is not going to happen. King Bling Blah, WrestleMania, Lashley against Jay White, Reed, Riddle, Ciampa. None of the above. Armchair Critic, based on Brett's scale rate, rate Daniel Bryan and Triple H. On Brett's scale? Oh, I think Daniel Bryan would get a 9 out of 10. I think Triple H would get a 4 out of 10. CMJ, how about adding belts to be the booker? No belts, but we do have a stipulation be the booker that we bust out every now and then. Juan Ocampo, that Dominic segment just needed the what? That Dominic segment just needed the chancala. I don't know what that is. Dan Richards, regarding the Warrior Award, is this the only award named after a person that was never worthy of winning the award? No acronyms this week. I think it may be. Actually, they haven't made any announcement as far as the Warrior Award this week. Frankie Bertrand, thank you for the sub. As King Kong Jericho there beats his chest. Welcome to the channel. Chris AXC with the $5 super chat. How do we rebuild AJ Styles? Book his return from injury. Also, how sad is the sight of Lashley in the Andre Memorial Battle Royal graphic? It's pretty sad, man. It's pretty sad. But I'm guessing they have more planned for him at WrestleMania than just that. How do you rebuild AJ Styles? Physically, it's tough to rebuild AJ Styles because now he's 45, right? 45, 46. As far as rebuilding AJ Styles, I mean, look, it's just a matter of getting him fresh opponents. You know, try to match him up with people that he hasn't worked with before. You know, you can have an AJ Styles Logan Paul program. You could do AJ Styles. You could have done AJ Styles and Roman Reigns at some point during this stretch that Roman has been on. I think that you could build up something with AJ and Cody. You know, if Cody wins the championships, you can get a pay-per-view match out of that. So it's just a matter of when he comes back, he's got to start racking up wins on TV. I felt like he was losing, you know, way too much. But I would just start, you know, racking up wins on TV to build to him challenging for the championship at some point. I'm not saying he would win it, but I do think he would make a great opponent for Cody Rhodes. And I think that also you have a lot of people on the roster that he could work with. Depends on what brand he ends up on. You know, he was on Raw the last time we saw him. If he were to end up on SmackDown, he could work with Gunther. How about AJ and Gunther? How about that? There's a match we haven't seen before. Mark Kwan. Hey, Solo, how random was that coach heel turn in 2003? About as random as the Michael Cole turn many years ago, or the Jim Ross turn back in 1996. These announcer turns are generally not very good. Love Lie, why is Gargano and Waller better than Ripley and Flair with less build? Well, because we know what we're going to get in the ring from a Johnny Gargano. I mean, it's not TakeOver, but this is going to be basically like the first Johnny Gargano TakeOver-esque match that he has had in many years. he's a proven commodity on those NXT shows, so you know the match is going to be good. But look, even the build with Waller and Gargano, they did that brawl outside Johnny's house a couple weeks ago. You know, it just feels like more of a personal feud than Charlotte and Rhea. Joseph Brooks, is it true that R-Truth had that segment a few years ago with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, and WWE sent him out there without a script? Also, would you have liked to have seen more of a run with R-Truth and Brock? I've never heard about them going out there without a script. What I did hear is that R-Truth was trying to crack up Brock, and he did. He did briefly get Brock to crack, and apparently Brock liked working with R-Truth. And I think I even joked at the time. I said, man, you got to get some kind of buddy cop thing going on the network, man. You got to get those two together somehow. You know, at the time, Brock was still, like, serious Brock. Now that Brock is more kind of, like, he comes out there and he's kind of, like, enjoying life now. He's smiling. I feel like now would be a good time to get some segments between them on TV. But now it looks like Brock may be leaving. You know, or at least he may be going away for a while. R-Truth is still recovering from his torn quad. I think it was a quad tear that he had. And then I think he had some complications. He had to go back under the knife. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Oh, actually, EJ Slemp. EJ Slemp, which Ring of Honor guy do you think was a bigger waste of potential because of their stupidity? Davey Richards or Marty Scurll? Marty Scurll, probably. I think had the potential to be a bigger star, especially given who his friends were. Not a doubt in my mind that were it not for what happened with him, he would have already been in AEW by now. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, don't let the punk situation distract you from the fact that Young Solo was a Shawn Michaels guy at his bar mitzvah. It is all a work, bro. I have been exposed. EJ Slemp, have you ever done a countdown of the top 10 greatest wrestlers / manager combos in history? If not, would you consider doing one? I would consider it, but I honestly don't remember. I've done so many countdowns, and I just haven't done a good job of keeping track of all the ones that I've done. I'm always so worried I'm going to repeat one. I don't think I have. I don't think so. I would consider it, but I don't think I have done that. Jessica Greed with the $4.99. Random question. Are you going to have a WrestleMania party at your house? Even if you don't, do you have a bunch of snacks and drinks? I am not going to have a WrestleMania party because I am going to be working. I'm going to be watching the show and feverishly taking notes and then immediately have to turn around and go live for 3 hours on YouTube. So I don't have time to throw a party. I don't have time. There's work that has to be done. There's money that has to be made. Unfortunately, it kind of takes some of the fun away from getting together with other people, but that is what I will be doing. As far as snacks and drinks, for me, you know, pretzels usually a go-to for me. I love salted pretzels. I might cut up an apple, some strawberry, have a fruit salad. That's pretty much it. You know, I don't do the chips and the Doritos and nachos or popcorn or any of that stuff. So that's probably what I'll be doing. As far as drinks, to be determined. I guess it depends on how bad the show is. I'm expecting and hoping for a good WrestleMania. So I should not have to drink myself into a stupor just to enjoy the show. I'm expecting a good WrestleMania. WrestleMania 38 last year I thought was an excellent WrestleMania. I'm hoping they can continue that trend this year. See, Darth has the right idea. That's the party that I want. We're going to have a Super Chat party at WrestleMania this year. That's right. Try to make all the work worth it that weekend. Lovely, do you eat dinner before or after your streams? I ain't having dinner at 1 o'clock in the morning, so no, I have dinner before. I try to have dinner as early as I can, maybe like around 5:30, maybe 6. that would not have been possible before, you know, pre-COVID, when I was still commuting back and forth. I usually would have dinner at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, so it's been very nice being able to eat dinner like a normal person at a normal time. I will never again go back to that. I like it just the way it is. Slim Yoshi, a Solo Monster, have you ever done a top 8 WrestleMania opening matches? I have not. That was the idea I originally had for the countdown on last week's show. I was going to do 8 for 800 and do a top 8 countdown of the best WrestleMania openers. But then I had the idea to do the best storyline. I thought that was a better idea, so we went with that instead. And I got a lot of positive feedback to that. The whole hour-long clip now is up on the channel if you didn't see it. I did go back, by the way. The video on YouTube that has the countdown, I did add timestamps. I typically don't do timestamps because, you know, to my knowledge, it actually hurts the performance of the videos when I do that, so I don't like doing that. But I did add timestamps on that one. It breaks it down by chapter for each of the 10 on the list. So if you did miss it, you can go back and check that out on YouTube. Devils. We got Devils Rising with the $6 Super Chat. My top 3 combos: Bear and The Undertaker, Heenan and Mr. Perfect, and Heenan and Rick Rude. Oh, you would get a lot of Bobby Heenan on that list. Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel. Yeah, I know they weren't a WWE pairing, and I didn't get a chance to see them when I was a kid because I wasn't watching the AWA back then, and I was very young. But you go back and you watch Heenan and Bockwinkel, and you can see why they get so much praise. They were an incredible combo together. So, yeah, Heenan and Perfect, Heenan and Bockwinkel, Heyman and Lesnar. Estrada and Umaga, I thought they were a good combo, too. Armando, Alejandro, Estrada, and Umanga, right? I thought they made a good combo. Armchair Critic, would you come back like HBK did for the money? Would I come back? Oh, in Saudi Arabia? Well, honestly, if they offered me as much money as he was rumored to have gotten for that match, yes, I would. Moist Kite, appreciate what you do, brother. Hey, Moist, thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, brother. Harley Race Invader, thank you, EJ. Yes, of course. How can I forget Harley Race Invader? Bobby's World, I love Gargano, but do you think the jokey booking since he has been called up is killing him? It seems terribly forced to me. It's not been good. And again, I think they're just stalling until Tommaso Ciampa can come back. I think, you know, Ciampa's injury really threw a monkey wrench in their plans. I think that they would have put the two of them back together. And once he went down, they didn't really have a solid plan for Gargano, which is why he's wrestling at Stand and Deliver next weekend instead of at WrestleMania. Hey, Let Go, thank you for the super chat. What are my thoughts on those guys? I don't really have any thoughts. Can't say that I have any thoughts on those guys. Hey, Thunder Force has been a channel member for 19 months. Wants to know buy, sell, and rent on WrestleMania's 10, 20, and 30. It's a race, you know, at the top, it's honestly a race between 10 and 30. 20 would be at the bottom for me. Was not a fan of 20 the way that I was a fan of the other ones. I'm kind of partial because I was at 30 and I had a fucking blast at that. That whole weekend I had a blast. I just love New Orleans. I go 30 and then 10 and then 20. That's what I would do. 30, 10, and 20. So in honor of our boy, well, Fahad, again, I got to give a shout out to Fahad, but what I was going to say is, where is he here? Let me see if I can go back here. Brian. Fahad and our boy Brian, they came in so huge tonight that even though we are short of our goal, because of Brian and Fahad and all the love they showed here on the Super Chats, even though we're not going to hit our goal, which is disappointing tonight, but because of them, you can thank them, because we will be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
least I can do is give you guys some Be the Booker, because you came in big time on the Super Chats tonight. I can't leave you guys hanging. So it is time here to Be the Booker here on this SmackDown stream. We've done pretty good this week. I always want to end the week on a positive note, though. So let's see if we can make the magic happen here. Be the Booker. You don't thank me, thank Brian. Thank Brian Musha. With that bomb he dropped on us earlier. We begin with Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the Greenwich Blue Blood. I wonder whatever happened to this guy. Look at this guy. Look how skinny this guy is. He's got to put some muscle mass on. What's wrong with this guy? This guy will never draw a dime. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, one-on-one with Broken Matt Hardy. I don't know. Do I want to give this the buzzer or do I want to give this the bell? What kind of match do I think that would... You know what? I'll give it the bell. I mean, it's Matt Hardy and Triple H, right? So they're not going to have a bad match. And actually, in those respective gimmicks, it could be entertaining. I could see a young Hunter Hearst Helmsley being repulsed and appalled by Broken Matt. Or Broken Matt perhaps thinking that he has transported himself back into the 1800s, the way that Triple H used to dress up. Yeah, I'm feeling generous. I gave them the bell. Could have gone either way, though. Solomonster is feeling very generous tonight. Don't mind me. I'm just hitting random buttons here. Let's go to the ladies. Begin with Nikki Cross. I believe, didn't we land on Nikki Cross the other night? I believe we did. I think it was Rhea Ripley against Nikki Cross on the stream the other night. So Nikki Cross back with us again. I guess Be the Booker has found its new lady love here. Nikki Cross going to go one-on-one with Athena. Reigning Ring of Honor Women's Champion, defending her title next Friday against Yuka Sakazaki at the Supercard of Honor show. Two for two. This is already, it's going to be a winner of a night. We're already going at least two for three. On the tag team side, we got the former WWE tag team champions, Billy and Chuck, with Rico Constantino. Look at those sideburns. What are those, mutton chops? Is that what they're called? We got Billy, we got Huck, according to his bandana. This looks like Huck. Billy and Huck. Be taking on the Butcher and the Blade. Billy and Chuck against the Butcher and the Blade would be a fine main event on Dark Elevation. But it will not be a main event on my show. Not on my show, it won't be. Two out of three ain't bad, right? Wasn't there a country song by that name? Because two out of three ain't bad. Think of Billy and Chuck, and I think everybody thinks of the same angle from SmackDown back in 2003 with Eric Bischoff. Huck Hogan, he's been called worse. I remember when Sergeant Slaughter used to call all the little pukesters out there. Puke Hogan, he would call them. Little did we know how true Sergeant Slaughter was. Call him Puke Hogan, he would call the Warrior. What do you call the Warrior? Like the ultimate slime? No, he called him the ultimate puke. Sergeant Slaughter had some weird, bizarre obsession with puke. Kind of the way that Gene Snitsky enjoyed people's feet. Did you see, by the way, I hate to even bring this up because it's just so fucking vile, but some of the wrestling websites ran with it. I think I saw something on Fightful the other day about this. Because apparently this is very important news to be reporting on. Gene Snitsky, I guess, was on a podcast somewhere, and he was talking about how... I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but how much he enjoyed sucking on Mae Young's toes during a segment on WWE television, because Gene Snitsky is no, and it wasn't just a TV thing. Apparently in real life, he has a foot fetish. Now, I heard this and I thought to myself, I have no memory of Gene Snitsky sucking on Mae Young's toes. And I wonder if I, like, legitimately, I blocked it out of my memory, so I would have no recollection of it whatsoever. Because just the mere thought of it, makes me want to vomit here on the stream. Yes, I see all the vomit emojis. I see all the vomit emojis in the chat. That was my reaction. Exactly. Yeah, so I maybe it happened. Maybe it happened. I legitimately have no memory of it, and I don't want to have any memory of it. I would want to wipe my memory clean so I can specifically not remember it. Why this ended up as headline news on some of these wrestling websites, I have no idea. Well, yeah, what a very weird, bizarre period in WWE history. Just the image of that. Sweet dreams, everybody. You'll all be having some sweet dreams tonight. Tony Atlas approves. Yeah, I'll bet he does. All right, one last look at the poll. Well, at least we're not on 69 anymore. It's 68.8% thumbs up. We got 22% thumbs in the middle and 8.9% thumbs down, so... Overall, I think, again, a good episode of SmackDown, the key stuff delivered. And then we'll be back because next week, it is WrestleMania week. It's finally arrived. We have Raw coming up on Monday. We have Dynamite on Wednesday, which, by the way, that is also the debut night for AEW All Access. And another show I am not going to be watching live that night because we'll be right here live on YouTube. 10 o'clock after Dynamite goes off. Friday next week is WrestleMania SmackDown, and then it's WrestleMania weekend. Back-to-back nights live on YouTube. We got Wrestle Rumble contest. Going to be giving belts away one of those two nights. It's going to be big. It's going to be the biggest weekend of the year. And in between, sandwiched in between those two nights of WrestleMania will be episode 802, that Sunday of the podcast. Who knows what we'll be talking about on that show, but I'm pretty sure that's where my stand and deliver review will be. I just don't think I'm going live after the NXT show. So we'll save the stand and deliver recap for the Sunday show. We got to save something for the Sunday show. Talk about that. We'll talk about WrestleMania. So I hope you'll join me for all the festivities. I hope you keep it locked in right here. Choose me for your WrestleMania coverage. Going to be a lot of fun. Thank you for all the love tonight, even though we fell short of our likes goal. You can still like on your way out, I hope. Hopefully I didn't scare you all away with the Snitsky story. It wasn't my fault. Don't blame me. I will see you back here on Monday Night Live for the Raw stream. And, of course, this Sunday we have episode 801 of the Solid Monster Sounds Off, where we are going to have an awful lot to discuss. I may be doing WrestleMania predictions on the Sunday show. I am going to talk about the CM Punk AEW situation. I got a lot to say about the CM Punk and AEW situation, and a lot of news on that situation as well, including some interesting news that dropped today on Fightful Select about that whole situation. So we will cover that and any other breaking news between now and then. Be well. Stay safe. I will see you back here live on Monday night on YouTube for the Raw stream. I'll see you guys Monday night.